Here at one point, the chief rabbi of England spoke in this room. So he was trying to figure out, can you hear me in front, can you hear me in back? So he told the story that he was speaking in England at one point, and some woman from the back yells out, "I can't hear you!" So a fellow in the front yelled back, "I can, you want to switch seats?" It's a good lie, isn't it? I didn't know I'd ever get a chance to use that, so I'm glad you gave me such a hard time to start. The topic I picked, the topic of Mashiach, is related to the parsha somewhat. We are talking about the Geulas Mitzrayim. There's a lot of relationship parallelisms between the Geula from Mitzrayim, the ultimate Geula, which we hope will be here soon enough. But that's only a tie-in. That wasn't the real reason I decided to speak about it. I've been into this topic a little bit because I feel that people are losing touch a little bit with the topic of Mashiach. Mashiach has kind of been co-opted by one sect of Judaism, and everybody who is not that interested in that sect kind of pushes off and says, no, we're not into that type of thing, when Mashiach's not our thing. Well, maybe somebody being Mashiach is not our thing, but Mashiach is very much our thing, and I think people are forgetting about that. I think people are beginning to see Mashiach someplace like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, something that, you know, some people believe in, but we know better. And the truth of the matter is, no, we all believe in Mashiach. We all very much want Mashiach. We might even believe that saying that only one person is Mashiach might be undermining it, but ultimately it's just to remind everyone that Mashiach is something that's very much part of our basic thought. The Rambam, in his Hakdama, in his introduction to Perek Chelet, there's a famous Perek, the last Perek of Sanhedrin, known as Perek Chelet. It opens with the Mishnah, Kol Yisrael, Yishlem Chelet Olam Haba. It's been made into songs, that everybody, all members of Israel, will have their own part in Olam Haba. And that's where the song ends. However, if you keep on learning beyond that, it says, and these are the people who don't have a Chelet Olam Haba. There's a list that the Mishnah has and the Gemara expounds upon, people who don't get Olam Haba. So the Rambam, in his introduction to this very important parak, the topic of Mashiach, Olam Haba, are things that really are surprisingly spoken about very little, for sure in the Tanakh, more so in the Gemara. Therefore, he says he would like to take this opportunity to introduce people to the basics of our faith, what we know as Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna, the 13 principles of faith that we believe in. The Rambam, before he lists off these 13 principles, states that if anybody does not believe in even one of these 13 basic principles, that person could do all Taryag mitzvahs. They can be make sure to do every mitzvah asay, be nizar, make sure not to do any mitzvahs los asay. Still, that person does not get credit for any mitzvah whatsoever. If you do not believe these 13 basic principles of faith, the Rambam says, all bets are off. Now, that's a very strong statement. We know all of us, so please speak for myself, we all do our mitzvahs, we do our aveiros. And the assumption is that even though we do aveiros from time to time, and we will have to pay for that eventually, still we get credit for the mitzvahs we do. Right? If someone could be a terrible person, an axe murderer, however, if he keeps Shabbos also, so he'll get punished for being an axe murderer, and he'll get credit for keeping Shabbos. Whatever a person does, people have their goods and bads, and they don't usually overlap. So the Rambam statement that if somebody does not believe in any one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna, he does not even get credit for any of the mitzvahs that he does, is a very strong statement, almost surprisingly strong. You would expect the person doesn't believe in certain aspects of our basic beliefs, so he's over Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There's a mitzvah that person is supposed to believe. He doesn't believe. Okay, but you know, besides that, there's 612 to talk about. Why does the Rambam come out so strong and say if a person does not believe in even one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, all bets are off? So the answer seems to be quite simple, that a person, in order to get credit for the mitzvahs, has to be doing the mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do this, the mitzvahs. If a person decides that he gets off on weekends, and therefore, one day on the weekend, Shabbos, he's not going to do any work. He's just going to kick back and take it easy. And out of sheer luck, he ends up not being over any aveiros on Shabbos. So he doesn't get any aveiros. To get a mitzvah to say that the person was Mekayim and Oneg Shabbos is wrong. If a person, in order for a person to be Mekayim the mitzvah, he has to do it because he's Mitzvah, because he was commanded to do this. And not only that he has to do it because he was commanded, but he was commanded to do it by God. And who is God? So first he says, I believe I was commanded to do it by God. And God is Ralph the Lettuce Head. Now I believe that I have this Avodah Zarah. That's my God. And that's why I do it. So even if Ralph the Lettuce Day with Taka would have given him the same mitzvahs, you don't get tzchar for that. A person is not being Mekayim the mitzvahs because he does not believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was commanded these mitzvahs. So to hear, the Rambam is saying, if unless you believe the following things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God that you are worshipping, is not the same God that we are worshipping. If a person believes and says, I am worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but according to the Rambam, I believe he has arms and legs. I think he has a human form. So Rambam says, that's not God. I believe that I am worshipping God, but the God I am worshipping was created by a greater being. Also not God. I believe that there's a beginning. I believe there's an end. Anything that's on the list, the Rambam is saying that is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That there are certain basics in the world, and you have to believe these basics to be in our religion. And if you don't believe these basics, your religion is a different religion. And therefore, even if you keep the mitzvahs, you're not keeping the mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because this is the Jewish mitzvahs, it's because you're running your own religion. The last two of these, Yud Gimel Ikarim, which is written in most Sidurim as the Ani Mamins, is Ani Mamin Be'muna Shalema Be'biyas HaMashiach Va'af Al-Pi She'yisma Me'ah Im Kol Zeh HaKalo B'chol Yom She'yavo. That a basic understanding of being Jewish and practicing the Jewish religion is you have to believe that there is a Mashiach that comes at the end. If a person just doesn't believe in Mashiach but keeps all the mitzvahs and does everything else, according to the Rambam, not only is there an Aveira for not believing in Mashiach, but that undermines every single mitzvah the person does. If the person does not, and again, you have to look at the Rambam closely, we'll look at the original, but even at the Ani Mamin, it says, Ani Mamin Be'mur Shalim B'Vias Mashiach. One, Va'af Al-Pi She'yisma Me'ah, even though it's been a while, even though it's taken him quite some time to get her, Im Kol Zeh Chachar Lo'B'Chol Yom B'Yishiyavah. Right? Still, I wait for him every day. Now, you'll note, and the other thing, it doesn't say, I believe, for example, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Rishayim, and he gives Schar to the Tzadikim. Right? I believe in Schar and Onesh. I believe that people do good, ultimately good will happen to them, and if they do bad, ultimately bad will happen to them. It doesn't say afterwards, and even though I go out into the world and I see good things happening to bad people and bad things happening to good people, still I believe in this. It doesn't say that. It just says that, well, Kari Muiz, you have to believe this. Why does the Rambam go on to say, V'af al-pi she'yisma me'ah? Then this isn't the Rambam. The Rambam is actually brought in number two, but you'll see it's basically the same words. Im kol zeh achakaro b'chol yom shiavo. So the Rambam seems to be understanding that it's not just a matter that a person has to theoretically believe that there is such a concept as Mashiach, but a person has to be actively waiting for it. A person has to be every day expecting that today is the day, this is the minute Mashiach will come. Looking at number two, the original Rambam of the Pirshanayit, again, a person has to actively believe he's coming and he's not going to be much later. And in the event that it's been a while, as in fact in the Rambam's day it was a while, and now it's around 800 years, more a while. Chakevo! Almost the same exact words. Well, Yasin Lozman. You shouldn't give any deadlines. Whenever he comes, he comes. But a person should be expecting that the Mashiach is going to come every single day. It's interesting. One of the very few times, people don't usually speak of Mashiach, but when they do, it's almost the exact opposite of this. And I'll get up here and I'll tell you, you know, I hear next week in the Midrash Yom Rishon, there's going to be a special program. The Lakewood Rosh Yeshiva are coming to give Midrash Yom Rishon. So what would you say to me? Yeah, when Mashiach comes, that's when the Lakewood Rosh Yeshiva are giving Midrash Yom Rishon. Now, I assume you're not implying to me, when Mashiach comes today, I believe that the Lakewood Rosh Yeshiva are giving Midrash Yom Rishon today. No, a person is seems to be saying by definition, just like I think Mashiach isn't coming anytime soon, so too I don't think that the other thing's going to happen anytime soon. So a person, by making a comment like that, is stating that I don't believe the Mashiach is coming anytime soon. Right? By saying, yeah, that's going to happen. The Cubs will win the World Series when the Mashiach comes. Doesn't mean today when a person says that. When a statement like that, which is one of the few times people talk about Mashiach, is by definition undermining this Yisodim that we believe Mashiach is coming now. And if not now, shortly thereafter. We say it in davening. As Samach David Avdocha Meher Tatsmiyev, Karum Tzurushosecha, Ki Rishuwascha Kivinu Kol Hayom. Every day, three times a day in Shemana Esrei, during weekdays, we say, we are Mekaveh, we are waiting for Mashiach all day. So Mashiach can't just be an abstract concept that, you know, it's something in the Agadata, we are not sure how we understand it. No, this is very basic. A person has to do it. In fact, the Medrash comments, Vayomer Bayomahu Hineo Kenu Zeki Vino of Yoshenu, Aimbiyaso Akiva Kadai Hail Gu'ula Vaskarakiva. In the event that we have no zuchus for us whatsoever, we have nothing, there's no reason in the world to believe that we deserve the Mashiach. If we want the Mashiach, if we're waiting for the Mashiach, that's reason enough for the Mashiach to come. Again, so these are basics of Yisod Emuna. It's a shame that over the last decade or two, somehow Mashiach has gotten moved to the back burner. People are almost embarrassed to talk about Mashiach. But the bottom line is Mashiach is one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna. We all have to believe it, and we have to believe it stronger. And the stronger we believe it, the more likely it will come very soon. The Gemara talks about interesting things that are Yisurim because they work against it. For example, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about people who set a date, that a person says that this will be the year that I have figured out the date, this is the day Mashiach will come. Right? The Gemara says that those people should be put to death. Then it's fighting words. Why? Because in the event the date comes, so there's two problems. I say, I know the Mashiach is coming next Tuesday. I have it on the good information. I have some inside information that in fact Mashiach is coming next Tuesday. There are two negative things that happen here. One is the obvious one. If Tuesday comes and goes, and there's no Mashiach, people give up hope. But B is, what about Monday? What about this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? By my saying it's not coming till next Tuesday, I am also saying it's not coming before then. And we believe that every day. It's interesting because the Rambam writes it, the Gemara writes this. However, many of the Gedolim, before we get to the Gedolim, so I remember I went to Kent Morasha as a kid. Went for many years. And when I was Nitzi Shtili, if people know what these things are, I remember there was the camp rabbi used to get up every year on Tisha B'Av. He made a rousing speech. It was played over the microphone. And he'd always have some gematria. Tov, Shin, Mem, Beis, Tehei, Shnas, Mashiach, Bimheira, this is the year for sure. And that, yeah, him. Yeah, every single year he would have a gematria. He'd figure out that this was the year. Okay, so one could say, Rav Dafka, everyone was supposed to take it that seriously. We know he did it last year, we did it the year before. You know, it was a tefillah, it wasn't a prediction. But if you look at the Rav Sadja Gaon in his Emunos Hedeis, he does put down the year. The year 1356 is the year the Mashiach is coming. He put down the numbers. He figured it out. He had a gematria, he had a pasuk in Daniel. Daniel talks about Mashiach. He explained that if you read it backwards and you do a gematria, that was the year. So the Rambam writes in his Igeres Teiman, there was a letter, that a famous letter that the Rambam wrote to the Yemenite community. And we also know the Egeres Mashiach, when there was somebody who was walking around claiming to be Mashiach. So the Rambam gave some basic rules there. So he said, how could it be? How could the Sadja go? And the man was a goon, literally. Right? He was a great man. He knew the Gemara. How could he do it? So he explained that in the Sadja Gaon's time, there was a very difficult time. They were going through tremendous oppression. People were giving up hope. So by putting a date on it, he thought that would be helpful. The Rambam doesn't speak approvingly of it, but uses it to explain. But by and large, the Gemara is quite clear. We don't try to put a date on Mashiach, even if anyone has that. There's an interesting machlokas between the Gemara and the Medrash as to were there people and are there people who actually know the final date. So one opinion is that nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. Nobody knew it. Even the Malachi Hasharis, even the angels don't know when the Mashiach is coming. Perhaps better known is a Rashi in Parshas Vayechi, where it says that when Yaakov gathers up his sons, he says, let me tell you what's going to happen, Ba'achris Hayomim. So Rashi comments that he wanted to tell over when Mashiach would come. However, Kosh Baruch Hu thought it was a bad idea, so therefore he held off on it. But the assumption there was Yaakov Avinu at least knew when the Mashiach was coming. There's a further opinion that Daniel perhaps knew it as well. But that's the long list of it. That's the maximum, is two people knew it. Besides that, this is a piece of information that nobody really knows. So I was hoping, perhaps, if we discuss a little bit today about the generality, what's Yimosh Mashiach going to be like? Obviously, these are all, everybody's basically guessing on this, but there are Gemaras and Rishonim guessing, so that makes it worth something. Just a general idea what the order of things will be, etc. Try to make it a little bit more palatable, a little bit more understandable. The Pasuk in Yeshayah, to the end of the Haftorah, HaKotan Yiela Elef, number 6, Vatziyela Goy Otsum Ani Hashem Be'ito Achi Shena. So discussing the Yimosh Mashiach, it says, Be'ito Achi Shena, in its time I will hasten it. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, a well-known Gemara, points out that this is a stira. If it's going to come Be'ito, if there's a certain date that Mashiach is supposed to come, that's a calendar date, and that's what we're waiting for. So you can't tell me I'm going to make it come quick. That's the date. When it comes, it comes. If you tell me, Achi Shena, I can speed it up, so that means there is no set date for it. So the Gemara points out that these two words, one after another, are astira. So the Gemara says, famous line, that in the event Zachu, that in the event that Bnei Yisrael Azoche, Achi Shena, it'll come sooner. Lo Zachu Be'ita. Mean that there is a certain deadline. We don't know what that date is, but on that date, that's when Mashiach is going to come. Even whether we deserve it, whether we don't deserve it, whatever happens on that date, Mashiach is going to come. Now, in the event that we deserve it, we could push it up a little earlier. It's interesting. The Chafetz Chaim wrote one time that, let's be honest, you know, our generation is perhaps not the greatest generation to have lived the last 2,000 years. You know, there are many greater generations. If all those generations were never zocher to Achi Shena, if none of those generations were great enough to speed up the Geula, why should we think for a second that we have a fighting chance? So the Rambam explained, so the Chofetz Chaim explains like this. He said, well, you have to understand. Let's say the Mashiach, the end date is next year. Let's say. So for the people 1,000 years ago, they had to have enough zechus to make the Mashiach come 1,000 years earlier. So that they didn't have. We only need zechus for 1 year earlier. So even though we might not be as great as they are, we don't need as much. All we need is 1 year, a little bit. We're so close to the end. Right? 6,000 years is the maximum. So we can't be talking 250 years anymore. It's got to be less than that. So we don't need as much as zechus. We should still keep on pushing for it. The Gemara goes on to explain that the exact form of Mashiach will also depend on how exactly it comes. For example, on the one hand, everybody's aware of this, the Pasuk says Mashiach will be anivarochei v'alchamor, a poor man riding on a donkey. However, in other places in Tanakh, it sounds like Mashiach will come down with lightning from the sky. It sounds like some fabulous halftime at the Super Bowl effect that's going to happen. So the Gemara again says, it's stira. How could it be? Is it going to be a quiet, natural progression of the Ani Rochev al-Chamor? Or no, will it be this supernatural, tremendous event? Cataclysmic event. So the Gemara says, it depends. If it's the case of Zachu, if it's the case where the Mashiach is coming early because we deserve it, it'll be this fascinating, unbelievable event. If it's just a natural state of affairs, there'll be only Rochev HaChamor. There'll be a natural progression. Probably some political steps will happen. It'll lead to wars. And at the end of the day, it'll just happen the way it's supposed to. So whether it happens one way or the other makes a difference. It's interesting. I'll just skip a little bit the Gemara in Erevin, which is probably number 14, discusses a fascinating question. So the Gemara is discussing Erevin, as you'd expect in Erevin. So there, one of the main type of Erev that's discussed in the Meseches Erevin is Erev Tchumen. I mean, if somebody, let's say, is outside the city, a person can only walk 2,000 amos in each way. That's the area you have to stay. And even if you're in the city, you only have to work 2,000 amos outside the city. People think this doesn't apply anymore. There's actually an interesting machokas among the YU Rosh Yeshiva, whether persons can walk from Washington Heights to Riverdale on Shabbos. Crossing over the river, is that within the 2,000 amos, is it not? So that's the main discussion. So let's say someone's on a boat. So most people are aware that halacha, if someone's on a boat on Shabbos, you can remain on a boat on Shabbos, as long as you don't get off. But the boat's moving, right? The boat's going miles and miles on Shabbos. So the Gemara discusses the topic of whether it is tchumen l'mayla me'asara. If somebody is at least 10 tefachim off the ground, 10 tefachim around the yard, so how do you stay a yard off the ground if you're on a boat, right? The boat is many feet on top of the ground. So the Gemara wants to know whether or not the rules of tchumen applies to a boat, or applies to anything above 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, yes, it does. And how do we know? Because we know that Mashiach can't come on Sunday. What? So the very last pasuk, second in Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im. So Malachi was the last Navi. He said, the next Navi you're going to meet, it will be at the time of Mashiach. He says, Hine anochi shaleach lochem, es el yo hanavi, lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora. That el yo is going to come and he's going to announce that Mashiach is coming the day before Mashiach comes. Now the Gemara says that Eliyahu, where does he currently reside? Someplace in Ma'al Me'asara. Therefore, he can't come on Shabbos. Because Eliyahu Lomeis, he's still alive, he's chayv in the mitzvot, he can't come on Shabbos. He can't come on Shabbos to announce Mashiach. So Mashiach can't come on Sunday. That's what the Gemara says. Interesting. So the Briska Rav, as the lore has it, was asked. I don't understand. Every single day I'm supposed to expect Mashiach. But the Gemara itself says he can't come on Sunday. Not only that, I'll make it a better question. If you tell me that Eliyahu is coming the day before Mashiach, if I know Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, I know Mashiach's not coming today. It could be Tuesday. If Eliyahu didn't come on Monday, I know Mashiach's not coming on Tuesday. Every single day in this day of modern technology. So it used to be there was a time when it could have come to Eretz Yisrael. We don't know about it yet. But now we would know about it instantly. Right? Arut Sheva would have it up, and the CNN would have it up, and everybody right away, instantly everybody would know about it. There'd be viral emails going around, Mashiach Eliyahu is here. So how could I tell me that every day I'm supposed to expect Mashiach to come? If Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, he's not coming today. So the first answer the Briska Rav gave was an interesting one. He says, yeah, when Eliyahu comes, he's going to have to explain that to us also. That was his initial answer. However, upon being pressed a little more, he gave a different answer, which is probably the correct answer. He said, well, there's a difference. This concept of Eliyahu coming the day before Mashiach, that's be'ito. That's if we're not zocha and the natural state of affairs happens. So Eliyahu will come to the Sanhedrin and he will make an announcement that now Mashiach is coming and you expect him tomorrow and I'll introduce him to you all. That's if it's be'ito. However, if it's achishena, if you speed it up, all rules are off. That in the event that Mashiach is coming because we deserve it, that could happen without Eliyahu, it could happen at all, period, at any time. Just another comment on that Gemara. So that Gemara is a very interesting Gemara for many reasons. What the status, the fact that Eliyahu is still chayv in mitzvah, it's an eye-opener. People ask, if this is true, why do we have Kisei Eliyahu when we have a bris on Shabbos? If Eliyahu can't come down to announce Mashiach, to stop by and have a bagel cream cheese latte at a bris, you know, that would seem to be less important. So there's a lot of discussion about that. What is the status of Eliyahu? But another interesting part of it is it says there that that in order to announce the Mashiach, Eliyahu will have to appear before the Sanhedrin. That there'll be a Sanhedrin of 70, and people with smicha, and that will lead to the announcement. Now, unfortunately, we do not have smicha nowadays. We give out smicha here at yeshiva, but that's called heter hora, the real smicha, the chain of smicha, which went back from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua, etc., for generations thereafter, was broken at some point. It's a question when it was broken. Some people say the time of Abaye the Rav was broken. That was when we went to the set calendar. Dr. Revel, Allah Shalom, had an article where he thought that smicha went up until the 1100s. And that only 100 years before the Rambam was the chain broken. It actually went for hundreds of years afterwards that the Gaonim still had smicha. It was much later that it stopped. But one way or the other, by the time the Rambam came along, the smicha was over. And the Rambam was well aware of this problem. Without smicha, it would seem that we cannot have Mashiach. So the Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, does not necessarily talk about this in the Mishnah Torah, says that in the event that the entire Klal Yisrael, that all the Rabbanim of Israel will get together and decide that somebody is deserving of smicha, that person can get smicha and restart the chain. Historically, it's very interesting. In the early 1500s, this happened. Shortly after the Spanish Inquisition, as the story goes, there were many what we call Moranos, conversos, Jews who outwardly pretended to convert but remained Jewish down deep. Several of them escaped Spain, and they went to Tzfat, which was the center of Judaism at the time, and they were very upset. They said, Avodah Zarah is one of the three cardinal sins, the Gibel Averis Chamuros, and the Rambam paskens have somebody, and therefore, even if you do it under pressure, so obviously this is one of the Yehorot Vel Yavor, they should have been killed rather than agree to it. The Rambam comments that if somebody has malchus, if somebody gets whipped, as punishment for it, that takes care of the kares. So these people wanted malchus. They wanted to go to be before Beis Din. They wanted to be convicted. And once they were convicted, they would be punished, and that would take care of it. Now, in order to do that, in order to give malchus, you need a Beis Din shel smuchim. You need a Beis Din, at least three rabbis that have smicha going back. So the idea was, let's bring back the smicha. So all the Rabbanim of Tzfat got together, and they gave smicha to the Mahari Beirav, who was the top rabbi of the time. Other people who got it was Rav Yosef Cairo, probably better known than the Mahari Beirav, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, among other things. The Al Sheikh HaKadosh got it. Different stories how many people got it, but at the time they brought back smicha. And they went through with this. The smicha lasted 2-3 generations that eventually died out again. From the beginning, it was very controversial. The Maharal Bach, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim, was very insulted that the Rabban of Yerushalayim were in contact. How can you say everybody agrees if we weren't talked to? We don't think this works. Historically, a very interesting story. But what was the reason for the Rambam? So again, the reason for the Rambam was he came up with this chiddush because he had an understanding that Mashiach has to come. In order for there to be Mashiach, you need to have smicha. You need to have a Sanhedrin and smicha. Therefore, he restarted it. It's an unfortunate fact of Jewish history that whenever things get bad, there are these messianic movements, right? Shabtai Tzvi, right, was a response to the terrible times. Even nowadays, I'm not much of a sociologist, but would have to believe that much of the Mashiach movement, etc., the movement to start the Sanhedrin once again, is probably not unrelated to the difficulties in Eretz Yisrael. So again, this is a very interesting understanding, and according to the Gemara, Eliyahu is supposed to come the day before, he's supposed to announce Mashiach, which means that the order of events is that first Eliyahu will come, then Mashiach will come. There's another important part of this, that's a haftarah from Sukkot, and that is Milchemes Gog u'Magog. There'll be some tremendous war between Gog, well, actually, it's not really the point between Gog and Magog. Magog is the king of Gog. The Navi, both in Yechezkel and and elsewhere, where is it? Have these parakim which indicate that there will be this great war. Three times there will be attempts of the foreign nations to get into Yerushalayim. The first two times they will be repelled. The third time they will be successful. The foreign nations will take over Yerushalayim. It'll be terrible destruction. However, at that point there'll be a great earthquake, all the people who came into Yerushalayim will be destroyed, and ultimately the Jews will come out victorious with Mashiach. It's interesting, a lot of people say Mashiach is coming, you should move to Eretz Yisrael. You read the Navi, probably is not the best idea. I'm a Zionist, I support Aliyah, but the whole idea is you want to get out of Muhammad's Gog and Magog, it's a bad plan. You should think of other things. What do we know? Where is Magog? Gog, the king of Magog, where is Magog? So all we know from the Navi, Magog is someplace up north. Everyone's guessing, just taking a look at number 9, which I think is interesting. The Gemara in Yuma says, Magog, Zo Canadia. Right? He seems to think it's Canada. Right? That's the only one that's really, right? It's the Great White North. We would have never suspected them. They were probably the low on our list. Nobody's knowing, everybody is guessing based on whatever clues they have. The Malbim has a one that one might appeal to people a little more, right? You read the Malbim, which is presented number 10, he says it's Yishmael. He thinks it's the Arabs. Again, the Malbim lived before the current unrest between us and the Arabs. It probably strikes us as more of a possibility than Canada. One never knows, though. What? Canadia. That's what it is. Canadia. I don't know. Who knows? Just keep your eyes open for those people. A very interesting statement. Related to Elio Lopian. Lived around 50 years ago. Was known as a great Baal Musar. He quotes a story in last week's Parsha, actually, which is definitely worth looking at. In his prediction, he says, he quotes a story that he heard from Rav Chanan Wasserman, was told him from the Chafetz Chaim. So the Chafetz Chaim died in the early 1930s. So Masha Yiyah La'asid Ein Anu Yodim. We don't know what's going to happen. Sheket Beretz Yisrael, Ad Masa Yiyah Kein Rak Hashem Yisbarach Yodea. We don't know when ultimately Mashiach is coming, it's going to be peace in Israel. However, Ani Shemati B'London, Mipi HaKosh Rav Chanan Wasserman Zatzal. When I was in London, I heard the following from Rav Chanan Wasserman. So Amar B'Shem HaChofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadeh for Kodesh Lavracha. Shechazal Omrim Shemuchamaz Gog U'Magog Yiyashol Oshpamim. There'll be three wars, that's what the Navi says. Vaz Hoya Achrei Mechama HaLamas HaRishona. So this was the point, this was between the two world wars. Vamar Chofetz Chaim Shemuchama Hazos Haysa Mechamaz Gog U'Magog HaRishona. He said that World War I was the first Mechamaz Gog U'Magog. Ba'ot Esrim Mechamesh Shana Be'erech, in approximately 25 years, Tia Od Mechama Olamis, Sheniya HaMechama Rishon Tia Ke'efes Kenegda. So there's going to be a second world war, he predicted, and the first world war will be nothing compared to the second world war. Va'achar kach Tia Mechama Gog U'Magog Shlishis, Eitz Tzara Hil Yaakov. Then, after the second world war, at some point there's going to be a third world war, and that will be terrible for the Jews. Avol Mimenu Yosha. How the ultimate redemption will come out of that. V'siyim ha'gon Rebbe Chanan, v'omar ki chevei Mashiach muchrochim ra'avor, v'ak ha'masle b'esa hi yidom yizkonen v'achonu d'rabo, u'lai yizke liros b'necham v'atziyam Yishalayim. He said there's no way out of the Milchamas Gog U'Magog, it'll be a terrible time. The best people will be able to do is to hope and pray that they'll be able to survive to see the ultimate redemption. Well, Bichon Ben Yehuda Anglia, Lama Chozer Repolanya, Halo Shem Omdim Ergamayim, Halonim Lasos Mochama. So they asked him, so why are you going back? So he explained, listen, the world has to go on. So I think in terms of historically, this is a testimony that the Rambam, that the Chofetz Chaim predicted World War II 25 years in advance, again, gives us what to think about for sure. So we generally assume that first will be Gog U'Magog, then will be Eliyahu, and then will be the Mashiach there afterwards. That is not the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam is of the opinion that, in fact, Milchamas Gog U'Magog only comes after Yemos HaMashiach. Looking at the Rambam in number 12. can't find it quickly, so you'll take my word for it, that he in fact says that the order will be first Eliyahu, then Mashiach, and then Gog Magog afterwards. So, actually, sorry, I said it wrong. His order is Mashiach, then Eliyahu, then Gog Magog. The exact opposite. So they ask on the Rambam, isn't that against the Gemara? Doesn't the Gemara say that first Eliyahu has to come to announce the Mashiach? They say that's a simple answer. We assume that there is no Tchuma over 10 Tfachim. We don't passim like that Gemara. Therefore, that's rejected. So they ask on him, more basically, isn't it against the Pasuk though? Lifnei vo yom Hashem agadol v'anora. Doesn't it say that the Mashiach come, Eliyahu doesn't come before the great day? So the Chasam Sofer answers, yeah, the great day, but what's the great day? Eliyahu is going to come before the great day. The great day is Mochemes Gog Magog. It's not Mashiach. So therefore, the Rambam has a very different order for the state of events. To discuss a little bit what's it going to be like, so number 15 are the famous Pesukim, the Gars, the Avim, Keves, the Nomerim, the Yerbots, the Ego, Kfir, Marie, Yachdom, the Nar, Katon, Magbohem. That the lion and the lamb will play together and a child will play among them and there won't be any issues, everyone will get along. There's a four-way machlokas, we'll just say it outside, as to whether or not these psukim should be taken literally or not. The first two opinions are obvious, yes and no. Right? According to the Rambam, this is all allegorical. In fact, in the Mosa Mashiach, there won't be any change of nature. This is allegorical that there no that we are the lamb, and the goyim are the lion, and we'll be able to get along to them. We won't be in fear anymore. That's all it means. Ein bein, o mazel yivosa Mashiach, ela shibud malchus levad. The only difference between now and then is the fact that there will no longer be anti-Semitism. That's the major difference. Other people take this quite literally, that everything will change. The other two opinions are become a little trickier. Maybe it will change in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe nature will change for Jews, but it won't change for non-Jews. Those are the basic opinions. But again, we know very little about the basics. The final piece of the puzzle, shall we say, beyond Gog Magog, Eliyahu, and Mashiach is Binyan Bayis Shlishi. Obviously, the final part of the package is that at some point the Mashiach will build the Bayis Shlishi. That's what we assume. However, there happens to be an interesting machlokas as to the exact order. What comes first, Mashiach or Bayis Shlishi? If you take a look, for example, at Yalav Yavam. So we have here in number 18 and 19, the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Sfaradi for Yalav Yavam. The Nusach Ashkenaz is, first we talk about Mashiach, and then we talk about Yerushalayim. The assumption being that that's the order. First Mashiach comes, and then we rebuild Yerushalayim. That is, in fact, the Bayis Shlishi. The Nusach Sfaradi, however, has it the opposite way. Alkeinu le'alkeinu v'seinu yal v'yavi v'yagir v'yareh v'yiratzev yishama v'yipokei v'zecher zichronei v'zichron avaseinu. Zichron Yerushalayim Yerecha, Zichron Mashiach ben David Avdecha. So there seems to be Machlokes, Ashkenaz and Sfarad, as to what the order should be. It's interesting, the Gemara, both Bavli and Yerushalmi, seems to take sides on this. The Bavli points to Arshmon Esrei. So the Bavli explains in Megillah that the order of our brachas are in a specific order. That we are asking. Whatever we're asking for is, right? Firstly, for example, some obvious ones. First after Atah Chonim, let's say Niyad. We start off with Atah Chonim L'adam Da'as. We should have Seichel. And the next thing he asked was what? Hashiva is for tshuva. Right? We ask that we should, once we have seichel, you know, we should start doing what's right. After we ask for tshuva, what do we ask for? Slach lanu, we ask for slicha. Right? That once we've done tshuva, please accept our tshuva and erase whatever we've done. So the Gemara says also, so what do we have? First we have Es Tzemach David. Right? Et Tzemach David Avdecha. First we David for Tzemach for the Mashiach. And then afterwards we say, Bnei Yerushalayim. So the Gemara seems to be saying very clearly that the order is that first comes Mashiach, and then after Mashiach comes the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam disagrees. Right? The Rambam says the opposite, and you see from the different Ashkenaz Sfaris, it's actually the flip as to how things turn out. So there's a machlokas whether or not the building of the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to come before or after the coming of Mashiach. That happens to be an important machlokas. There are definitely groups in Israel today, we could call them fringe groups, who want to start building the Mashiach, the Beis HaMikdash right now today. Right? There's a little piece of architecture that has to be removed from the Temple Mount, and after that we can start building the Beis HaMikdash. What are we waiting for? So whether or not this is true, or has to do with this, do we need a Mashiach to build the Beis HaMikdash or not? That is this machlokas. It's interesting. There was a fellow, Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. You know Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer? Tirat Tzvi. Tirat Tzvi? Tirat Tzvi, they're the people who make the nice turkey roll. So Tirat Tzvi, Moshe Tirat Tzvi was named after Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was a Rav in Poland who was a tremendous Zionist. He wrote the Sefer Drisha Tzion, and at some point he came up with this brilliant idea. He said that Mendelssohn should take his money, he should buy the Temple Mount, and we should start building the Beis HaMikdash. So he sent out letters to the Gedolim of the time, the Beis HaLevi, etc., saying, here's my idea, what do you think? Why don't we just start? Let's just do it. So there's a fascinating back and forth. Well, in order to do that, you need Kohanim. Right? Who knows who's a Kohen nowadays? One issue. Next thing you need besides Kohanim, you need Tar, Kohen HaTar. You need a Parah Aduma. Where are you going to get yourself a Parah Aduma from? So maybe that's not a problem to the Hujra B'tzibur. You're going to need Big Day Kahuna. Big Day Kahuna need Tcheles. Where are you going to get Tcheles from? Etc., etc. A long list of issues come up. You're so sure where the Bakum HaMikdash is? We know the Temple, but where exactly on it is supposed to go? So there was a lot of discussion back and forth. People were explaining why they think it's a problem. He was responding why he thinks it's not a problem. Perhaps we can just do a carbon Pesach on it. Right. Among the issues was, you need in order to bring the karbanos, the karbani tzibur, you need the machzis ha-shekel. Everybody in Klal Yisrael has to give a half a shekel, and I can't pay for you. We need all Jews in the world to get together on this. What are the odds of that happening? Right, that was one of the stronger comments. You know, so back in, it's not like someone will say, okay, so Reichman will give, Stanton will give machzis ha-shekel for everybody. No, it doesn't work that way. It has to be from each every individual. You can't have somebody just pony up the money. So this was a lot of discussion. In hindsight, people point out that they were missing the basic fact that the Temple Mount wasn't for sale. It wasn't that the people who owned it were willing to give it for a few dollars and we could negotiate away. Being in Poland, he was just unaware of the state of affairs. So while this is an important discussion, halachically it's fascinating, practically it wasn't the most practical discussion at the time. But nowadays, we have to think about it, what do we have to do? It's interesting. So the number one, Rabbi Shechter, when he speaks about this, always says the number one issue is that in order to build the third base of Mikdash, you need a Navi. Right? At the very end of Malachi, Hine Anochi Shalech Lechem, Es Eliyo Anochi, Rifnei Bo Yom Hashem, HaGolo V'Ano. What does Eliyo have to come for? I mean, it's a nice touch. You know, bring Eliyo, it really gets things going. Why does he have to come? Because Malachi's saying, you're going to need a Navi to build the third Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, the next thing you're going to see is when Eliyahu comes to get things started. As far as we know, we don't have a Navi nowadays. So I always thought that was a knockout question until somebody from Eretz Yisrael told me, not a problem. Let's build the second Beis HaMikdash. Why's that? At the time of King Herod, Hordas, there was major renovations of the second Beis HaMikdash. Arkidekach. So sometimes you have this in New York. So there's different building permits. If to build a new house, you need a big permit. To build make a change, to add a bedroom on top of your garage, you don't need such a big permit. So oftentimes what people will do is they will get a permit to make a little change. They'll leave the door frame up. They'll knock down the rest of the house, and they'll build it out there. So basically, that's what happened. It was such a major renovation that the Beis HaMikdash was out of commission for a while. They tore down the walls, everything. So the idea was, okay, but when Hordas started it up again, did he have to re-Makadish it? Was that the third Beis HaMikdash? No, it was the second Beis HaMikdash all over again. So too, we've had a little bit of a layoff. 1900 years and change. But okay, we don't need to be Makadosh it. We'll just rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. He was able to do it. Why can't we? So actually, he mentioned it to Rabbi Shechter one time. After this guy, he said, I just don't understand those words. What do you mean, a rebuild? It wasn't sinking in. So among the issues, obviously, is where does Mashiach fit into this? If we are supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash prior to the Mashiach coming, so then, maybe we should be working on it. Maybe it's a good thing we have that Klei Mikdash Museum, and maybe it's a good thing that people are working so hard on this and doing whatever archaeological work they're doing around the Makom HaMikdash, and maybe we should get going. However, if it's something that happens with Mashiach first, then there's not much to talk about, at least for this minute. So I'll leave a little time for questions, but in sum, let me just get it in sum first before I give up the questions. In sum, is that this is a real topic, and Mashiach is a very important topic for all of us. Right? We do all want Mashiach now. We happen to think that he's not here. We therefore have to take this very seriously. It's one of the Yud Gimli Kari Emunah. Much as we believe in God, we believe that it's interesting. God created the world is not one of the Yud Gimli Kari Emunah. Right? The Rambam thinks you can get by without that. However, this does not, so it's old. We didn't talk about Tchias and Mason, number 13 on the list, but people should try to keep it to the extent possible in the forefront of their mind, in time of Nisa, maybe to think about it. Tisha B'Av, right? Tisha B'Av is the time that we're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, perhaps. These are all things that we should be thinking about, at least keeping in our mind as real possibilities and things that we hope that they'll happen soon. Yes? So the Gemara says that whoever, the question was, what are the sources of the Torah for the Mashiach? Not enough. So the answer is as follows. The Gemara says, whoever does not believe that Tchias HaMeisim, which is a further step, is not Min HaTorah, is not Ben Olam Haba. You have to believe that not only will Tchias HaMeisim, will the rebirth of the dead happen, but you have to believe there's a possible. So the Gemara says, okay, yeah, where is it? So the Gemara goes through a whole list. Az Yashir Moshe, right? Then he will. So I mean, Az Yashir, he's dead already. So the Gemara goes through a whole long list. One possibility, another possibility. Ultimately, the assumption is it's someplace, but there's no place that we can say, ah, there it is. It doesn't say Beferish any place. But we believe it's there, and the Gemara says we have to. No, there's Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Right. So we didn't get involved in it. There is an assumption that there are two Mashiachs. When I talk about Mashiach, I'm talking about Mashiach ben David. There'll be an earlier Mashiach ben Yosef, according to many of the traditions. Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed in Milchemes Gog u'Magog. But to other traditions, he's been killed already. So. So. Taking it shortly, question was Tchias HaMeisim, where does that fit into it? The common understanding is that Tchias HaMeisim will happen some later point. There are other issues. For example, how long will Yemos HaMashiach go on for? Does Yemos HaMashiach go on till eternity? Or at some point do we revert back? Right there, the Gemara seems to be saying Mashiach times is only a set of time. The simple understanding is that there'll be Tchias HaMeisim afterwards. Many Rishonim, the rich were among them, assume that there will be an earlier Tchias HaMeisim. There will be certain tzaddikim that will come back at Yemos HaMashiach. But that which we know as the Tchias HaMeisim Kholis, meaning that the Tchias HaMeisim, the general one, where the generally good people, not great tzaddikim, come back, that will be some later date, we assume. The Gemara darshan that from the pasuk. The Gemara assumes that that up until 6,000, that's the regular time, and the next 1,000 years will be Yemos HaMashiach. It's interesting. I'll just mention this passing. Obviously, it could easily get its own shear. Is the simple understanding of this is that we're in 7,000 year cycles. That there'll be 6,000, up to 6,000 years of non-Mashiach, followed by 1,000 years of Mashiach, followed by destruction of the world. And then that repeats. This is relevant. Again, why do I care about this necessarily? This is relevant because if Tiferes Yisrael has a famous drasha, which is printed in his Pirush HaMishnayos, where he talks about fossils, right? We all know that there are dinosaur bones that go back seemingly millions of years, right? How do we explain that with our understanding that the world is under 6,000 years old? So the Tiferes Yisrael is of the opinion that we're in the fourth cycle right now, and therefore these are leftovers from previous cycles. I remember, I went to Las Vegas once. You wouldn't have expected this, but we won a free trip on eBay. Believe it or not, the Rapp family won a free trip to Las Vegas. So the Rapp family went to Las Vegas. So we did the Emerald Nickelboat, we went to Hoover Dam, so we went to see some of the sites. So we went to Red Rock Canyon. So Red Rock Canyon is outside of Las Vegas in Nevada someplace where there are just strips of four different color stones. And they said, you know, one's red, and one's black, and one's beige. And they explained to you the reason for this is we have no idea. So I thought, that fits in with the Tiferes Yisrael. You tell me this is the fourth one. Now I understand it. Now the whole Red Rock Canyon makes sense. But that's where it comes from. Again, all of I'm giving you probably the most common opinions. There are definitely other opinions out there. The bottom line, nobody knows, right? I can tell you the opinions that we're in the seventh cycle, right? Arya Kaplan assumes that way. How he knows? Not sure. Any further questions? Thank you very much.